knowing that timing's very, very difficult. But what are things that do you expect to happen from now until the end of the year?
I think stocks, by and large, will go down. And two, I think that the precious metals will be not collapsing, but consolidating the advance. And I think the precious metal that has the best potential is platinum, but it's not going to move right away.
Dr. Mark Faber, editor and publisher of the Gloom, Boom, and Doom Report. Good evening to you, my friend. How are you?
I'm okay, but I caught a sickness in Hong Kong and I haven't overcome it yet.
Oh, I am very sorry to hear that, but I'm also equally grateful to have you through your sickness. I really it's
It's
always.
okay.
It's just such a pleasure to have you always. So, let's start out with what's going on with the Fed, what that means. It's you wrote a recent report just recently. If the Fed is already starting to loosen with inflation, they certainly came out dovish when Powell was in Jackson Hole. Tell me your thoughts on that and what does that all mean?
Well, it's very simple. Now, people can obviously see the duplicity of Wall Street. I mean, Bessent, he was a hedge fund manager for more than 40 years. Do you think he ever criticized the Fed? Never. Never.
Right.
But now that is at the Treasury. He wants to basically unload the guilt or the responsibility for the mess we're in onto the Fed. That is the reality.
Okay. So it's he's punting it to the Fed. Work out that relationship. Scott Bessent wants to. How's that going to work? He's punting to the Fed. Yeah. Just. Work that out for me if you would.
Well, I'm not sure how it will work, but the dilemma is they have to basically print money in order to lift economic activity. But at the same time, they have to be careful not to stimulate inflationary pressures. So if you ask me how this is going to work out, I have no idea. I think it's not going to work out very well.
So when you say it's not going to work out very well, do you expect equity prices, which I've talked to three different very high profile guests in the last 2 weeks, and they all said we are in the bubble of all bubbles. Do you expect that to pop? Do you expect if they print more money to equities to continue to go higher or stay the same?
Every bubble bursts at some point. So you can assume that if this is a big bubble, it will burst massively. Can it go higher? Of course. But can it go higher in real terms? I'm not sure. Because if you look at the stock market performance since the end of last year, in nominal terms, the S&P and the Dow and the Nasdaq are making new highs. But in real terms, in other words, inflation adjusted, they're not making new highs.
Right.
In other words, the stock market goes up and the currency goes down. And I suppose the currency will decline at some point massively, massively. But it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, and there's huge implications, I think, on the bond market, with all of this printing and them wanting to stimulate the economy. What effects is that going to have on the bond market?
Yes, it's difficult to tell. My inclination would be to say that bond yields will not go down much, even if they cut short-term rates. The rates on long bonds may go up, actually. But who knows? The problem is, once you embark on market manipulation, which the Fed and the Treasury over the last few years have clearly done, all possibilities are become a reality. You understand? Anything can happen. But responding to your question about whether the bubble will burst, yes, of course. But I can say that it's very difficult to say tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock the bubble burst. You understand? It's not going to happen that way.
Yeah. On that note, I want to say, though, you had some fantastic calls in the past. I've had many viewers as well as friends that have used your services and read your reports, and you nailed the highs and the lows. Again, it's impossible to say, but in the past, you've nailed some highs and some lows. But again, it's very hard to predict.
Yes, that is correct. But concerning the highs, I was frequently early. You know that I predicted the market top on such and such time frame, and then it went on another 2 years.
Yes.
Because with money printing, you can postpone the bursting of a bubble almost endlessly.
This has also had huge impact on the precious metals market, specifically gold. And now it looks like silver's coming up. Where has all the buying been coming from in the gold market specifically? And do you expect that to continue?
Yes, I expect the buying of precious metals to continue. And let me explain you why. I think wealthy people in the world, they are concerned about paper money. Mm-hmm. I mean, wealthy people tend to be alert and smart, and so they're worried about the value of paper money. And the family offices and the wealthy people suddenly discover, oh, maybe we should own some gold and silver and platinum. And then they start to accumulate.
Right. Do you
see, Mark, may I ask you a question? Do you see a parallel with the 70s, or is it different? Do you see a parallel stagflation parallel to the 70s, or is it different?
Up to now, and I have to say up to now, there hasn't been gigantic speculation in gold, silver, and platinum. You know, if you look at ETFs, actually, the asset value of ETFs, of gold ETFs, has diminished. In other words, in a speculative bubble, usually the assets of an ETF increase significantly. But this has not happened yet. In the 70s, I mean, I was at the time in Hong Kong, the whole city was gambling in the London gold market 24 hours a day. People went for lunch, they looked at the gold price. People went for dinner, they looked at the gold price. We had an office at Drexel Burnham, and at night, we had a visitor's gallery. People came and watched the market on, at the time, Reuters and Bloomberg, and then they placed orders. And at, say, 2 o'clock in the morning, they went home.
So you're not seeing the speculation, the fervor in the metals markets as of yet?
Not yet. Not yet.
But you expect that to come, correct?
Every bubble ends with massive speculation. There's a lot of speculation in stocks, in day options, in all kinds of speculative activity, but not in gold, silver, and platinum. Very little.
Got it. So it's still a relative value even at these prices, correct?
Look, it's very difficult in life in a bubble, in a monetary bubble, to say we are in a bubble. We don't know for sure. And my sense is that before the gold, silver, and platinum bubble burst, it has to become much bigger.
Got it.
I'm not saying gold is cheap, because most of the gold I own, I bought in the 1980s, 1990s, at around $300 an ounce. You understand?
Yes.
So now it's up significantly. But considering the rate of inflation over the last 40 years, I think gold and silver and platinum are reasonably priced. They're not cheap, but reasonably priced.
Got it. On that note, and I would like to talk a little bit about geopolitics, but first, is there any deep value that you see right now in the market in commodities, whether that's, again, the metals, whether that's copper, whether that's even energy like uranium or oil or gas or whatever have you? Is there any deep value that you see?
I think nowadays we have to distinguish between value and what is moving. You understand? Say oil is probably good value around this level, and platinum is probably good value around this level. But will it move up? I am not sure, because the speculative element, they drive things that move. They buy things that are moving, not things that are good value.
Right. So I guess, would a strategy be to look at good value or great value and then just wait?
Yes. I mean, the question is, what is great value? Maybe right. Maybe there isn't anything that is great value.
Yeah.
I think we talk about value. Asian stocks, like Hong Kong shares, they're reasonably priced. Brazil and Latin American shares are reasonably priced. Now, we had a bit of an accident with the elections in Buenos Aires, and then the stock market in Argentina collapsed. But I think it will recover. But I'm leaving it aside for the time being. And it had a good move 2 years ago, and I exited it, and that's it. I think Brazil is good value. Colombia is good value. Indonesia is probably good value, but it's not going to move.
You had basically the French government, correct me if I'm wrong, it's more or less imploding. You have the German economy, it's been stagnant for I don't know how long, and then they have their own political issues here recently. What do you think is going to happen to the European continent, and do you see any growth there?
I'm not sure. I'm actually surprised that Europeans lived with Ursula von der Leyen for such a long time, because she's the model of incompetence among politicians in Europe. And I suppose that the EU could break up.
What does that look like if that were to happen?
I think it would be favorable. But of course, everybody will disagree with me. But basically, it would be good that Europe returns to small sovereign states instead of one huge country.
Will Germany win economically? Will Germany win economically in this case?
I think that Germany can be an interesting turnaround case, that, you know, the Germans start to reverse the policies to the left and move to the right. If that happens, then obviously the values will be unleashed. But who knows? You see, there's so many uncertainties about policy measures. We never know. My impression is that the EU members want to abandon the EU membership. And especially, they want to get rid of Ursula von der Leyen. But some important countries like France and so forth, they like her because she's establishment.
Got it. What's your opinion on what's going on with the UK? It seems they are also on the brink of some sort of collapse. Do you think that there's any growth there, if you would?
I like the expression, they're on the brink of some sort of collapse. Yes, I think they are in a collapsing mode.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to be nice. You are.
Yes, it's very nice of you.
Yeah, what's your expectation?
These are all things. I have to be honest with you and with your viewers. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't look good.
Yeah.
But to be fair, as I said, I wouldn't know. I don't think the outcome in Britain, in Germany and France will be good, but there may be a miracle. There may be a miracle.
Okay. If you could talk a little bit to more geopolitics about the Ukraine-Russian war, or I should say the Russian-Ukraine-NATO war or conflict, do you see that beginning to work itself out? And what are the implications if it is or if it's not coming to an end?
My view is there are too many interests, too many people that have an interest in the continuation of wars in Gaza, in Sudan, in Ukraine, and so forth. War is a big business, and Ukraine made a lot of people very rich in Ukraine and in Russia and in America, especially in America. Mm-hmm. And exactly what will come out of it, I don't know. But I don't think you can just sit there and say, okay, we're going to have a peace plan and this is it. I mean, Trump, he's naive in his views. He thought he can come in and within 2 weeks he can kind of make a peace treaty about Ukraine. But that doesn't work.
Right. Pivoting back to the U.S. and to Trump, for the past 6 months, it started in March, Trump and the administration, Bessette and whoever have you, they started implementing tariffs here in the U.S. economy. What are your thoughts on that? And what impact are you seeing so far on not only the U.S. economy, but on the global economy? Do you think that's working for the U.S. or do you think it's leading to all of the economy slowing down?
I think it's a complete disaster for the U.S. economy, the tariffs. Yeah. They're not going to help the U.S. at all. It may help for like a week or 2 weeks or something like this. But in the long run, it will increase the cost of living in the U.S. and the what they call consumer price inflation, and reduce demand for goods and services. So I think that the tariffs are a disastrous economic measure.
Isn't it basically
it's
a tax?
It's being sold to the American people as if it was the greatest invention in the world. You understand, Trump, he says, the tariffs are the beautiful tariffs.
Right. Dennis, you had a question there?
No, I just said that my view on tariffs, basically, it's a tax, right? And it's not a tax on other countries, it's a tax on corporations. and most of them are US corporations, which is going to trickle down to consumers, which is inflationary thing. The only thing that it helps, I think, is maybe helping our budget deficit, because we're bringing more, basically a tax, right? We're bringing more revenue to the treasury. That's the only positive thing about it. The rest is absolutely negative. And that's a trade-off, because we're a debtor nation and we're trying to solve that problem, but I'm not sure if it's the right way to do it. And and I'm kind of conflicted. I don't have an answer. On the one hand, I said, yeah, it'll help us with budget deficit. But having said that, look at the people around the United States, and now they're feeling the pain a little bit. Corporations and just humans. So it's a gamble. It's a huge gamble that we'll find out in about a year or two if it worked or not.
Well, yeah, what are your comments?
Yes, I think it's a huge gamble.
Yeah.
That will badly backfire.
I sort of agree. I hope for the best. But I'm not too optimistic about it.
Yeah. You think they're a disaster, Mark. Do you see them as a tax on the consumer here?
I beg your pardon?
Yeah, you see the tariffs as a disaster.
Yes.
Do you see them as a tax on the consumer? And
yes, definitely. Someone has to pay the tariffs. Who pays it? The consumer in the US, he has to pay a higher price for goods that were imported before without this tax. Now it's imported with a tax. That is the tariff. And so the tax is going up. That's why I say it's basically a disaster. It sold as it was going to help the American people, but actually it damages the American people because it's a tax. And you should always vote against tax increases. You should vote in favor of government spending reductions, but that they don't want. The politicians want to spend money, and they want to spend money endlessly because that's what gets them the votes. You understand? If a politician goes to the people and says, look, we got to cut spending, we have to reduce your social security benefits, we have to reduce subsidies to your farms, and so forth and so on, that the people will not vote for these politicians.
Pivoting back to international markets, which you're an expert in, how are all of these policies affecting places like Southeast Asia? Talk about that.
Well, you know, there are different views about this subject, but my sense is the consumer in Asia increasingly depends on economic health in Asia. In other words, Asia has matured in the sense that it's no longer dependent on exports to the US, but it has its own economic sphere consisting of China, of India, of Mongolia, of Indonesia, of Pakistan. Most of these countries have over 200 million people, you know, they're big countries. And these economies, they trade with each other. They don't depend on the US. They don't depend on Europe. This is the big misconception of these stupid European politicians that China depends on Europe. Europe depends more on China than vice versa.
Speaking of China, they've distanced themselves, if you would, from the US with all of this trade war going on. Do you see China becoming more, I guess, in their trading, it seems like the relationships with Russia especially have been, and India now, seem to be friendly, and there's really open to trade. But really, my question is, do you see that continuing? Do you see, again, China being more, I guess, isolated from the U.S. and the West?
I wouldn't say that it's a policy of China to isolate itself. But the Western world is eager to isolate China, to exclude them from the trading routes in the world. So I think that, look, the tariffs are bad for trade, and they increase the cost of doing business. They increase the cost of buying and selling with each other. To what extent it will hurt the economies of Southeast Asia and China and so forth is difficult to tell. But my view would be that China doesn't depend all that much on the US and Europe anymore.
Got it.
Yeah, we're not in the 90s anymore.
Exactly. We're not in the 1990s. Yes.
Got it. Last question, and we'll end on this, is do you have any, and again, knowing that timing's very, very difficult, but what are things that do you expect to happen from now until the end of the year?
I think stocks, by and large, will go down. And two, I think that the precious metals will be not collapsing, but consolidating the advance. And I think the precious metal that has the best potential is platinum, but it's not going to move right away. So these are kind of the ideas. And then I would say, I think that interest rates will go down. Not massively, but a little. And that this will kind of be favorable for Asian interest rate sensitive stocks like REITs, REITs, and for banks.
In Asia.
So I think there's still, I prefer Asian stocks to European stocks and American stocks.
Got it. So Dr. Mark Faber, we've kept you way too long. I just want to give you a thank you for joining us as you battle whatever you have. So I mean that most graciously. You've always been very gracious to me, and are very happy to come on my show and my program. I want to give you my gratitude. So thank you very much.
I mean, I think we have to entertain the thought that we are in an environment where everything could be going down for a while. Then the question is, in that environment, what will go down the least? In other words, if everything goes down, the king is the one who has assets that only go down by 10%. Whereas everybody else owns assets that go down by 30% or 50%. You understand?
Yeah,
that is, in my view, an important question that most people disregard because they are inherent, they are kind of optimists, and they are of the view that whatever happens, eventually stocks will go up more.
Right.
But I'm not sure.
Right.
Okay.
Nice. I think we'll end on that. Dr. Mark Faber, editor and publisher of the Gloom, Boom, Doom Report. I want to thank you so much for coming on.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.